Past couple of weeks, we have wanted to think about what does it mean to really live out our new vision to pursue God and His passion for people. And we've been specifically thinking about what does it mean to come back home to the place where it all started. And we looked at Jeremiah 29 a couple Sundays ago and really have been challenged to think about this call to love and embrace Manchester. It was wonderful to have the mayor of Manchester, Jay Moran, with us last Sunday, and very encouraged, and especially an opportunity to lay hands and pray for him was, for many of us, particularly memorable and moving. We want to continue thinking about this, and I've tweaked the message title and calling it a pursuing gospel, and it comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. So let me go ahead and read that for us. Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26, a pursuing gospel. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father, whether it's a celebration of a new baby having been born this past week into our community, whether it's saying goodbye to a life that has been called home, we thank you that through worship we can celebrate and we can mourn in your spirit with you by our side. We thank you for not just a religion, but a relationship that is so real and dynamic and walks us through all stages of life. Fathers, you have given us a new vision. We pray that you would help us to understand where this comes from and the person to which it points to. And so, Lord, as we think about this pursuing gospel, we pray that you would speak to us powerfully today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know if I mentioned, I guess in first service, I do miss my wife. She's been away since Thursday, and what an adventure, feeding, clothing, and getting kids. We had the help of a lovely couple from our church to help me with getting the kids to church this morning. But I'm so thankful that Kathy's coming home in the next hour or two. So with that, four things I want to share, and we'll move through this pretty quickly so I don't take too much of Beth Stafford's time, of which we are so excited to hear from. Four things: people must be pursued passionately. Secondly, don't underestimate the power of the ordinary. Thirdly, be prepared for the critics. And fourthly, embrace a whole person gospel. Last fall, when we launched the vision of our church to be a church for our city that pursues God and His passion for people, we were reminded, even as we look at this passage, that Jesus has much to inform us of as we consider this vision being more than just a bunch of nice words on a paper or being a lovely catchphrase. What we find in this passage is actually the first mention of faith in Luke's gospel. Jesus' ministry, his fame, his controversy was at a high point during this time and this event that we just read. With Pharisees gathered around, they're watching Jesus' every move and every word as they had their suspicions about this rising young rabbi star. But I believe when we look at this, we can be informed about what can we prepare for and how are we to pursue people as we move forward in our vision. The first thing I see here is that people must be pursued passionately. Passionately. Palestinian homes would often have from the outside on the first floor an outside staircase that would lead to the roof of their homes. Their homes would have roofs that were often like thatched roofs with mud and grass and weren't as strong as we would envision roofs being today. And I think about this paralytic who we don't hear a single word from. We know of his predicament and challenge, having a broken body, however that came to be. He was immobilized, he was helpless, in many ways hopeless. But these group of friends knew that if they could get their friend, who was very broken physically, just to the feet of Jesus, that he might be able to do something for their friend. And so they brought their friend. They saw crowds around and packed in the house. Many of us would probably have said, let's come back later at a more opportune and convenient time. But they did not do that. The friends did a little huddle together. What are we going to do? Well, there's a set of stairs. Maybe that will lead us to Jesus. And so they carry this man in this crazy journey to the roof of the house, and they did not find any opening. If we were these group of friends, we would say, well, better luck next time, and probably head back down the stairs and try to find another opportune and more convenient time to have their friend meet Jesus. But we see in our passage that they didn't just stop there. They overcame so many obstacles because their pursuit was passionate. We will do anything and everything to get our friend to Jesus and lay him at his feet. When they got to the roof and realized that they were stuck, the Gospel of Mark uses a word that's so interesting. They basically began to de-roof the roof, tearing apart by hand whatever they could find to create an opening to lower the friend by ropes to get their friend to meet Jesus. Could you imagine talking about a crying baby once in a while, or someone having to get up to answer the phone or using the bathroom, or maybe the sermon was so boring that they had to run away, whatever. We are mindful of disruptions. But imagine the disruptions where Jesus the rabbi teaching, pieces of the roof literally start to fall to the ground. Could you imagine? What are you guys doing? How dare you interrupt the teacher? Why are you de-roofing the roof? Who's going to pay for that? My insurance probably will not. Who's going to pay for that? But we see here that they passionately pursued their friend and would do anything and everything, even breaking through a roof, to be able to bring their friend to Jesus. I love what Daryl Bach says, New Testament teacher. Faith isn't just a feeling or knowledge, but action showing their determination to allow nothing, not even crowds or roofs to impede access to Jesus. Our pursuit of people flows from the heart of God himself, who is a pursuing God, whether it be in the book of Genesis, where God pursues a rebellious man. Where are you, Adam? We see it in Jesus leaving the 99 sheep to pursue the one lost one that is about to go over the edge and destroy themselves. Jesus tells that story of the shepherd that leaves the 99 to pursue that one. In John 4, we see Jesus saying he had to go to Samaria to meet the Samaritan woman who was emotionally hurting and broken in order that he might reveal the true living water to this thirsty person. As we pursue people, it is a pursuit. The word chosen for our vision is intentional. It's not just an acknowledgement. It's just not a recognition. It's not just a word communicating a need. But for those of us that understand the heart of God and realize that we have been pursued ourselves, and God has broken down the doors of heaven itself and earth in order that he might rescue us, when we really understand what we have received from him, you will see a passionate pursuit of people in your own life. That's how you know you have been truly touched by the love of Jesus Christ. No one wants to just be pursued unpassionately. For those of us that are married, could you imagine? Do you want to get married? I don't know. I guess so. Well, I'm not sure either. Okay. Well, it's just okay. You want to be pursued. You want to know that this person is the love of your life. You're willing to commit. You'll break down all things and barriers to be with the one that you love. How much more so when God puts a burden on our hearts to pursue people passionately. And as we think about that, that is the kind of pursuit that needs to flow out of our lives and hearts as we think about this charge and encouragement and command that God has given to us. Secondly, and quickly, we also don't underestimate the power of the ordinary. These men, on the one hand, were extremely bold, embarrassing, breaking through someone's roof that their friend would meet Jesus. But all that they actually did was carry a mat. They carried their friend. We don't know if they had amazing oratory skills. We don't know about their musical abilities, if they had a doctorate or not. All they did was carry a mat. It was an ordinary thing done with extraordinary faith. And I believe that as our church continues to move forward to pursue God and his passion for people, we do it not through just the extraordinary, but through the power of the ordinary done with extraordinary faith. Last weekend, when my family had a chance to be part of the kids' fair and also the event at the local Korean church, we were so moved and touched, as I shared last Sunday. The volunteers didn't do anything extraordinary. They led games on their knees at the level of these little children. They set up chairs and tents, blew up balloons, they smiled, they welcomed people, they cooked the meal, they served those that came to try this delicious food, they greeted, they smiled, they laughed. And it's true, these ordinary things, that such an impact can be made that can transform people forever. You don't need the extraordinary gifts and talents and treasure. You don't have to be a millionaire to make the impact that God so desires to make in the lives of people. It is through the simple power of the ordinary that lives can be touched forever by Jesus Christ. Thirdly, as we move forward in our new vision, we observe in verse 21, those called the scribes and the Pharisees saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts?" I believe that as we demonstrate the pursuing heart of God in our communities, as we get out of the fortress mentality and really put ourselves out there in the lives of men, women, and children that God is bringing our way, as a church moves from comfortability and safety and security to being a risk taker, to follow God's heart into a broken world, that will invite criticism. Because whether we like it or not, we love the comfortable, the status quo, the familiar. But if we understand the gospel and the call that God has for us, as we move forward in our vision, do not be surprised, as Beth even mentioned from first service, that you find yourself being a critic. That some of the harshest criticism often is not from the irreligious, but from the religious. From other ministries and churches, and within even our own families. But as we follow God's call to pursue Him passionately and His passion for people passionately, do not be surprised when we begin to see the sleeping giant called Trinity begin to be awoken to the desperate harvest field right outside our own doorsteps. Be challenged, remain steadfast, and be strong. In over 30 years of ministry, there's never been a time that I, who have been trying to follow God in my life, exhibiting it out in ministry, in the local church and other ministries, have never been without harsh critics. Kathy and I, this first year and a half here, have received so much healing from previous ministries of some of the harshest criticism you could imagine. And we just want to thank you how much we have been healed and restored. So thank you, Trinity. But as we continue to move forward and awaken the sleeping giant, let us be prepared that not everyone will be truly excited from their hearts at the direction we are being led towards. And we need to be prepared for criticism. But I believe as we continue to pursue God and His passion for people, we will continue to remain strong and steadfast as we sense God's leading in His direction. Fourthly and finally, and let's get Beth up here in a second, let us embrace a whole person gospel. Jesus did not just heal this man physically and that was it. He did not just forgive his sin and that was it. But in this case, he did both. And often churches and individual believers tend to focus so much on the spiritual and get people saved and all these things. And yes, we need to do that, but ignore their physical brokenness, their addictions, their hunger, their dysfunctional families, all the pain that they're carrying in their lives. We cannot divorce those two things. And at the same time, we can't just feed the poor, clothe the homeless, encourage the downtrodden without at the same time sharing the love of Christ and their relationship with God that is broken, that is causing the fundamental dissonance and pain in their lives. We have to do both. As we continue to move forward in that, I believe that God will reveal to us how powerful that is as we minister to both the physical needs and the spiritual realities of people. That is a picture of a whole person gospel we must be engaged in. As we think about these things, always keep in mind as you think about this passage, remember that that paralytic is us. We who were once lost, unable to help ourselves, were immobilized, paralyzed. We would not be here today if it was not for a friend found in a mom or a dad or a grandparent, a Bible study leader, a small group person, a pastor, youth minister, children's pastor, who encouraged us and passionately pursued us that we would know who Jesus is in our lives. That is the power by which we live out this passionate pursuit of both God and people. That paralytic is us. The gospel reminds us that it is Jesus's paralysis, his crucifixion on the cross that immobilized him, that gave us our power, our life, and our identity. His paralysis is our power. And in that we go forth into our community. I leave with this final challenge this morning. Whose roof do we need to de-roof in order to bring someone one step closer to Jesus? We know how to do the cray-cray in our lives. If you love movies as much as I do, and I've talked about the illustration because this is truly a confession as well, I'll do anything and everything not to miss a preview before the movie starts. And I will drive like an Indianapolis 500 race car driver to do it. Get out of my way. We know how to do the passionate, the crazy, the desperate for the things that we love in our hearts. You will move heaven and earth to see the loves of your life fulfilled. If people are precious to God, and they are, and he uses people to reach them, whose roof do you need to de-roof in order to bring them one step closer to Jesus? In our pursuit that God has given to us, we are so thankful. I wanted to share with you finally, after 20 to 30 years of a lovely work that Bill Boulay did for us, we feel it is time with the new vision to also come up with a fresh new refresh of the logo. And so I wanted to share that with you before you see it in the loop. And there it is, Trinity Covenant Church. Pursue God, pursue people. I know some will say, awesome, I could have done better, but there it is. With that, let me say a word of prayer and invite Beth Stafford in just a moment after an intro video. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for the most exciting call in our short lives that you've given to us, to be involved in passionately pursuing both you and people. I pray, Father, as we engage ourselves in the most exciting adventure of all, to be used by you in this way. Strengthen us, Lord. Lead us and guide us to individuals that you want to pursue through us. And grant us your strength as we continually see your passionate heart flow through us as Trinity Covenant Church, as we pursue you and your passion for people. I pray that this will be a place where people who visit and get a taste of will, like these crowds, say, we have seen amazing, great things here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.